At this particular psalm for the last couple of weeks, and we'll be continuing this evening and wrapping things up in this little mini series through Psalm 25. And I've been encouraged, and we, like David in this psalm, we face trials in life. And man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, according to what Job tells us. And we understand if you live life for any little period of time, you know there's difficulties, there's troubles and trials and opposition and adversity and all of those things. And I've often said this through the years, anytime we try to attempt something for God, you can expect that there'll be some opposition. And we've experienced that. We understand that. And here in Psalm 25, we find that David is facing some circumstances that have really caused him to seek the Lord. I made this statement 2 weeks ago, and that is when you face times of struggle, when you have a storm in your life, we really can respond in one of two ways. We can draw nigh to God, or we can get bitter. And really, there's not much in between. We're either going to draw nigh to God and seek the Lord and get close to God and grow through the storm, or we're going to get bitter, we're going to get mad, we're going to get upset, we're going to not learn the lessons that God has for us as we go through that storm. I believe this evening, and I know that you do as well, that our God is sovereign, that He doeth all things well, that God has a plan and a purpose for every season in your life and in my life, and everything that happens goes through God's filter. And Job faced some terrible, terrible circumstances, but we understand that the enemy only had limited opportunity or ability based upon what God said to the enemy. And so this evening, we understand that we will face difficulties, but they're in the greater scheme of things, we see that God's purpose and God's plan. I've said this, and it's worth repeating. There's no doubt in my mind that God can deliver us from any storm. But here's what I've learned. Not only through reading the Bible, not only through reading of stories and accounts of others that have gone before us, but just living the Christian life, I've learned this. More often, God chooses to deliver His children through the storm, not from the storm. And often what happens is we would prefer if God would deliver us from the storm, but often as He's delivering us through the storm, we learn lessons that otherwise we would never learn. You say, but I don't like the storm. I understand. But there are lessons for us. And so we find that as David was facing these circumstances that he's dealing with, we said this in the first week, that he was longing for peace. He had turmoil and trouble that was all around him, and he's longing for peace. And I'm thankful that David knew Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace, and that he was able to seek the face of God to have peace in the midst of all of the trouble. Why? Because peace is found in the presence of God. We find that David, not only longing for peace, but we said this last week, he was longing for direction. He's in a situation. What do I do? We believe, we don't have 100% certainty, but we believe that this is probably during the time of Absalom's revolt. There are other times in which David dealt with similar types of challenges and difficulties, and no matter which one it is, in each of those circumstances, David needed direction. He needed God to direct his path. He knew that God was able to do that, and he was longing for direction. And I'm thankful this evening that if you're longing for peace, that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and that He, according to the Scriptures, His peace is a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm thankful this evening that if you're longing for direction, that my God and your God, He knows the way through the wilderness. We sing the song and we understand, and it's a blessing to sing it with the kids and so on and so forth, but my God, my Lord, does know the way through the wilderness, and He is able to provide you and to provide me with the direction and leadership that we need in our lives. As we continue and look at the passage of Scripture this evening, we find this, we will note that David, not only longing for peace and for direction, but he was longing for forgiveness. To begin to consider this with me tonight, it's amazing how hardships in our lives can help us. It's amazing to me that when we're dealing with these types of circumstances in which David is dealing with, what really happens in our life if we respond appropriately and biblically is that we have some soul searching. Amen? And when we have some soul searching, it's not always that the circumstance or the situation that I'm in is because of everybody else. Sometimes it leads me as I have that soul searching that, Lord, there's something in my life that I need to get right. There's some sin in my life that needs to be dealt with, and I'm thankful that in this circumstance, in this situation, that David did some of that soul searching. Unfortunately, when we have difficulties, there are times in which we respond negatively, and therefore we don't do the soul searching. We don't go through the process, but we're reminded, and we'll stay here in Psalm 25, but let me just read to you two verses of Scripture from Psalm 119. In verse 67, the psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." So before I was afflicted, what happened? He says, I went astray, but now, because of the affliction, have I kept thy word. We see in verse number 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." We're going to get into the text here in just a moment, but let me remind you about an event in David's life as he was having a desire to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And we find that that's a noble endeavor. Would you agree? I mean, it's a noble endeavor. The people of God agreed with him and they were going to do that. But unfortunately, on that first attempt, it didn't go quite well. Would you agree? They put the ark on a cart, and some oxen are going to pull that thing. And by the way, that's not how God prescribed that the ark was to be moved. And we find that as they were going over a threshing floor, that it began to almost going to fall off that cart. And there was a man. What was his name? Uzzah, right? And Uzzah, he's going to try to stay that cart or stay the ark. And what happens? He's killed. You say it's terrible. David was afraid of God. That's what the Bible tells us. He feared. And you know what David did because of that? He went back and sought the Lord and figured out how are we supposed to bring the ark back. You know what happened on the second attempt? They did it the right way. They did it the right way. And so why am I saying that as we lead into Psalm 25 this evening in this longing for forgiveness? Because there are times in your life and in my life, there's this wonderful truth of God's word that God chastens those that he loves. If you belong to the Lord, if you're his child, he chastens. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And we find that David, because of these circumstances, and let me be careful to say this, not every time we have a difficulty does it mean that there's sin in my life. But I ought to evaluate. I ought to search. I ought to say, Lord, self-examination, have these things occurred? Is this going on because there's some sin in my life that I need to deal with? And here's the wonderful truth as we look through this psalm for a third time, as we look through and see this longing for forgiveness, here's the wonderful truth. Our God is ready to forgive. With him, there is forgiveness. Look at it with me, if you will. We kind of went through this psalm looking at the first five verses the last 2 weeks and then picked our way through the verses that were in connection with the thoughts in the first five verses. Now in verse 6 and 7, notice what David says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." Verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." We find that David, he requests that God would remember some things, and then he asks that God would remember not some things. And we find in verse number 6, what is it that he's asking God to be mindful of is God's mercy. I'm thankful this evening that our God is merciful. I'm thankful this evening that he is a God of mercy. And we find that he mentions mercy again in verse number 7. Look down, if you will, in verse number 16. The Bible says this, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me." Why does he say this? "For I am desolate and afflicted." And so he's asking for mercy. And so we find in verse 6 and verse 7, again in verse number 16, we ought to rejoice this evening in being reminded that our God is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. We read it repeatedly in Psalm 136. And we find this evening that David is rejoicing as he's having this longing for forgiveness, but he's thankful to know that God is merciful. Not only is God merciful, but look at verse number 11, if you will. The Bible says this, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." I want to break that down just for a moment this evening. He says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord." And then he says this, "Pardon mine iniquity." This is a personal request. This is a personal desire. And by the way, David knew that God is a God who is ready to pardon. David was aware. Why? Because God has revealed to us that it's within his character, it's within his nature to forgive, to pardon. And we find here that he says, "Pardon mine iniquity." He was personal. There's some soul searching because of these things that are taking place. And he says, "Pardon mine iniquity." And then do you notice the last words of that verse of Scripture? "For it," mine iniquity, "for it is great." It is great. What an appropriate perspective that David has with regard to his iniquity. I think of Joseph when he says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I think of the truth of understanding the deceitfulness of sin, but the wickedness of sin. And there are times in which, if we're not careful, that we minimize our sin. But our sin is great. He says, notice, he makes it clear, "Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Let me have you go back just a few pages, if you will, to chapter 19 in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. And notice, if you will, in verse number 13. He says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent." Notice what he says, "from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." And so as we look at Psalm 25 in verse number 11, he says, "For thy name's sake," because God is who he is, because he is a merciful God, because he's a God that's ready to pardon and to forgive, "for thy name's sake." Listen, mercy, we don't deserve mercy. If we deserved it, it's not mercy. Amen? If we deserve it, it's not mercy. And so, "for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." I preached a message back in July from Psalm chapter number 4, when the Bible says in verse number 4, "Stand in awe and sin not." And I said this when I preached that message in July, that there is a direct connection between, throughout the Scriptures, the direct connection between our view of God and our view of our sin. When I see God in His proper place, when I stand in awe, when I truly see Him high, holy, and lifted up, then I'm going to see my sin properly. I'm not going to call it a little white lie. I'm not going to call it a slip-up, a little bit of a mistake. No, it's great. That's what he says. It's an offense against a holy God, our holy God. Notice, not only will God pardon, but we see in verse number 18, David says, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." forgive all my sins. We see as we begin to look at this longing for forgiveness, and we see that David reminds himself and reminds us of the character and the attribute of our God, that He's merciful, that He's a God who will pardon, that He's a God who will forgive. And because He is a God who is merciful and a God who will pardon and who will forgive, then what does David do? Well, he seeks the Lord for forgiveness. You know, these truths about God and about His character and His nature are precious. It's an absolute blessing for us this evening to know the God of the Bible and to know that our God is willing, He is able to forgive. Could you imagine this evening knowing that you've transgressed but having no idea how to find forgiveness? Could you imagine? We mentioned it as we looked at the first week. He's longing for peace. How many people in the world are looking for peace? And they're looking in all the wrong directions. But we know the God of peace. And when we have turmoil and trouble and tribulation in our lives, we can go to God, who is the God of peace, and He will give us a peace that passeth all understanding. How many people are looking for direction? I mean, I don't know what to do. Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I take this job or that job? Whatever the choices are in life, and there's so many of them, people have tried to devise various types of plans on how to make decisions and put the pros on one side and the cons on one side. And I mean, just so many different things that people do to try to find out how they should go forward. Aren't you thankful that you know the God who provides direction for our lives? It's amazing. I used the illustration last week with Holly being lost and her GPS not working a week from yesterday, and she didn't know how to get to where she needed to be, and I didn't know how to help her to get there, and the GPS was useless. Her phone had no reception and all of that. I used that illustration last week, and I just wonder tonight, have you ever been in that situation physically? You're lost, and you have no idea where you are. You have no resource to get. You become desperate. You become desperate. That's how we need to be spiritually when we need direction from God. I need God's direction in my life. And I'm thankful that we can go to God and we can seek His face, and He will direct our paths. And then we find tonight with the subject of forgiveness, I can't imagine this evening. I mean, how many people know that they've sinned, they know that they've done wrong, and they think that they could do some measure of good in order to atone for their bad, and we know that that's not even possible, biblically. But I want you to think about the mental anguish that individuals in that type of a worldview have to deal with, because they never know from one action to the next on whether they've done enough good and all of those types of things, and it's a terrible way to live. But I'm thankful tonight that I can go to God, who is ready to pardon and ready to forgive. And what happens sometimes in life is we just kind of get comfortable with sin in our lives, and maybe there's some trials and some tribulations in our lives and some difficulties, and God is dealing with us and He's trying to expose some sin in our lives, but we don't even evaluate our own lives to determine, is there something, Lord, that I've done? Is there something that I need to change? And this evening, David, because of the circumstances, he gets real with God. Not only does he need God's peace and God's direction, but he begins to evaluate his own life, and he asks for forgiveness and mercy. And this evening, what a great pattern for us to be able to look to. Again, I mentioned it earlier, not every time we have a trial in our lives, not every time there's a difficulty that you face, is it because of sin. But it'd be a good idea for us as God's people to do some self-examination when we have those trials and those troubles. You ever meet somebody, it just seems like, man, everything's going wrong. Just nothing can be, and they feel like they have the perception that they've just been dealt a bad hand. They've used maybe even that terminology. Just everything seems to be stacked against me in life. Have you ever considered maybe self-examination? And I'm not trying to be the fruit inspector. I'm just simply saying there's a biblical truth and a biblical mandate for us to understand whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so when we deal with those things, it's a good idea for us to have that examination. By the way, when we observe the Lord's Supper, what is it that he says? Let a man examine himself. Is it not what it says in 1 Corinthians 11? It requires honesty and humility that we would stand and get alone with God and say, Lord, what is it that I've done? Is there sin in my life? Now, here's the amazing thing, and here's what I want to deal with tonight in our last little bit of time that we have. Let me just share with you some wonderful promises that God gives us, because David says this in verse number 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Can I remind you this evening that God's mercy and God's loving kindness, as he mentions here, that God is mindful of those things. He does know our frame. And he is a God. He is the God of all mercy. His mercy endureth forever, and it ought to cause us to rejoice. And then David says this, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for my goodness' sake, O Lord. Now, it's interesting that he says remember and then remember not. And here's what I want to point out for us this evening. And David, there's a truth in the Bible of progressive revelation. And there's a truth in the Bible that we stand in this era of human history with having a complete Bible. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that, by the way? Understand that many of those that we, actually all of those that we read of in the Bible, they didn't have the whole canon of Scripture like we have it. Paul is writing, and those folks are living in the first century as the canon of Scripture is being completed. And we find this evening that as we begin to look at what David's saying, I wonder tonight, how many of us, even with having the whole canon of Scripture, how many of us at times we think, because the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, we can't forget our past sin. Has it happened in your life? You can't forget it. Why? Because the accuser of the brethren reminds you. Amen? We sang, our family has sang a song a couple times, it's under the blood. When the enemy comes and he says, you've done this, and all I can say is, it's under the blood. By the way, praise God, it's under the blood. But I want to remind you this evening that in your life, in 2025, with a whole complete Bible, there are times in which the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, even in with sin that you've confessed and you've forsaken, and you know that God says that he would forgive you, you have a hard time forgetting it. Am I telling you the truth this evening? This is sometimes where we live. And what I'm telling you tonight is that David says, remember this, but remember not this. Remember not the sins of my youth. And so here's the wonderful thing. As we have the whole Bible and we have the whole canon of Scripture, and understand with me this evening that if you and if I, in a time, in a moment like what David is dealing with, and we're dealing with some circumstances and some trials, and we have that time of examination and reflection, and God exposes sin in our lives, and we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that ought to cause us to rejoice. But beyond that, let me share some verses with you that will cause you to rejoice greatly this evening. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter number 8, and we'll look at just a few verses here in the Old Testament. We'll go back, New Testament, we'll go back to the Old Testament here in just a moment. But let me just share some verses with you that I hope will be a great encouragement for you as we consider this evening longing for forgiveness. And the reality is that there are times in which God exposes sin in our lives, and we better confess our sin so that we can have forgiveness. But once he forgives us, he doesn't remember. We remember. Look at what it says in Hebrews 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful. David talked about mercy, didn't he? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Look over in chapter 10, if you will. And we look in chapter number 10, and it's a wonderful chapter dealing with all of the shadow of the law. And the Bible says that the law having a shadow of good things to come. But here's the problem there with the law. In verse number 3, it says, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year." We're reminded in verse number 12 that the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Aren't you thankful for that? And it says, look at, if you will, keep reading down, look at verse 17. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." When you ask the Lord to forgive you, when you seek that forgiveness, when God exposes in your life that sin and you seek Him for forgiveness, you can be assured this evening, as we so often quote 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This evening, David says, remember, but then he says, remember not. And here we begin to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, in going to the cross and making that sacrifice for sin forever, that he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's under the blood. Listen, God chooses to forget. Have you ever heard somebody say this when you talk about forgiveness? Well, I'll forgive you, but I can't forget. You ever heard somebody say that? Maybe you've said it to somebody. Can I say this? You should never say that to somebody. But I understand the human mind. I get it. I understand. We can truly forgive someone, but it's still there somewhere. Have you ever walked into a store and there was a song that was playing that you heard before you got saved that you wouldn't listen to since you've been saved? It's just music you wouldn't listen to. And you walk into a store and it's like, bam, it's there. Like, you just know all the lyrics, you know everything, and you're like, I haven't heard that song in how many years? My dad loved listening to 60s and 70s music as we were growing up, and we heard it all the time on those little cassette tapes. He got a new one every week, and it was just, I mean, all the time he was playing that stuff. I didn't even like most of it. But while I was unsaved, I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it. And I've gone into some places, and I haven't heard that music in 25, 30 years, and I've gone into some places, and it's like in a file somewhere. Has it ever happened to you? Our minds are amazing. Because then you go to Walmart, and you had three things to get, and you're like, what was I supposed to get again? Has that ever happened to you as well? It's amazing, isn't it? So, see, here's the thing. God chooses to forget. Look at Psalm 103 and verse number 12. Psalm 103 and verse number 12. We'll look at one more verse before we get into our prayer time after Psalm 103. In Psalm 103 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." You know, the amazing thing is, if you start going east, when do you start going west? If you start going west, when do you start going east? See, there's no, he says, as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. He says as far as the east is from the west. Notice, if you will, over the Minor Prophet of Micah. Look over in the Minor Prophet of Micah, if you will, and look at Micah chapter number 7. Micah's just after Jonah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. All right. Here in Micah chapter number 7, I want to read verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. "Who is a God like unto thee?" Isn't that a, I mean, just stopping right there and just meditating and standing in awe. There's no one like our God. No one like our God. "That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of, of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever. Why? Notice this. Because he delighteth in mercy. That is a powerful truth for us tonight. Our God delights in mercy. Do you know how many people around the globe tonight are serving false gods that they think are angry with them, and because of the there's no rain, because there's too much rain, because there's this problem or that problem, there's some deity that's mad at us and they're judging us. Listen, our God is just and he's righteous and he is the righteous judge, but he delighteth in mercy. And that is a phenomenal truth that God gives us in his word, that he delighteth in mercy. David says, remember your mercies. His mercies are new every morning. Is that not what Jeremiah tells us in the book of Lamentations? And we find that here Micah reminds us that our God delights in mercy. In verse number 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. We sing the little song. We actually haven't sang it here in church in a while. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And what a joy to know this evening. Listen, we all have to acknowledge tonight that we sin. We sin. 1 John says that if you say that you have no sin, the truth is not in you and you make God a liar. So we sin, right? Are you in agreement tonight? If you say no, you just sin for the very first time, okay? As a believer, you just sin for the first time. No, we sin. The problem sometimes is that we don't deal with our sin. We have a God who is ready to pardon, who is merciful. We don't take the time in life to evaluate our own lives and say, God, show me if there be any wicked way in me. We don't come to God like David does there in Psalm 25. He talks about, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Sometimes, as David did earlier in his life, try to cover our sin. Is that not what he tried to do with Bathsheba? Tried to cover his sin. But you know what David found in Psalm 51, if you read it? He found that God forgives. And he says, against thee and thee only have I done this great wickedness in thy sight. And tonight, he was longing for peace. Why? Because there's turmoil, there's this tribulation all around him. But he knew the God of peace. And so in the midst of all of that difficulty, he seeks the Lord. He runs to God. And God can give peace. He's dealing with all these circumstances. He needs direction. I don't know what to do. Should I leave? Should I stay? Should I fight? Should I not? What do I do? And he knew that he could run to God and he could seek God and God would give him direction. And a key thing that David did in the midst of this trial is he had some self-examination. And he was desiring forgiveness. He was longing for forgiveness. And he knew that he could go to God who is merciful, who is ready to pardon and ready to forgive. And he knew that God would forgive him. This evening, do you need peace? Got turmoil, difficulties, things raging that other people don't even know about, just internally, just difficulties. Can I encourage you to run to God? Seek him. He'll give you peace. I didn't say he'll take the trial away. I said he'll give you peace. Because even in the midst of the storm, he can give us sweet peace. Do you need direction? I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. God will give you direction. He wants to lead your life. When we submit to him and say, God, I just don't know what to do, would you give me direction and leadership? He will. It didn't mean that he took away the issue. It meant that he gave him direction. What's the next step? Sometimes in life, we want to know what's 10 steps from now. What am I supposed to do? People talk about having a 10-year plan. I'm just trying to figure out tomorrow. Sometimes you say that to people, amen? You want me to have a 10-year plan? I just want to know what to do tomorrow. I don't have the capacity right now. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, we don't have the capacity to think about 10 years from now. Why? Because we're in the middle of a storm. Amen? We need direction. We need forgiveness. That requires us to examine ourselves. Lord, is there anything that I've done that has resulted in these circumstances and this trial? Is there some sin in my life that I need to deal with? And then we just seek God for forgiveness because He will forgive. We learned three valuable lessons from Psalm 25 as we study David in the midst of this trial in his life. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your word, the truth contained therein. We thank You for the example of David in this psalm as we've studied for 3 weeks. And I pray that You'd help us to be able to take and apply truth in our lives, that we would follow the example of David here in Psalm 25. Thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You that You're a God who hears and answers, that You have given us the opportunity to come boldly under the throne of grace. And I pray that You would bless the remainder of the service tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Fernando.